I want you to open your Bibles in a familiar passage of God's Word this evening. In the book of Luke's Gospel, and the chapter is the chapter 16. God has written a portion of this passage of God's Word in my heart for the service this evening. That's Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I want us to follow the reading of God's precious Word as we consider this passage from God's truth. We'll commence reading at verse number 19 for our reading, but we'll concentrate on some of the latter verses. There was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abram afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he might testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abram said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And we know that God himself allowed his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the book of Job, chapter 14 and verse 10, it says, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. Where is he? I wonder how much thought you've ever given, friend. I wonder much of your time have you ever given to consider the day of your death, and what comes after it. You see, no matter who we are tonight, death is on every one of our tracks. Sooner rather than later, we're going to have to die. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, those familiar words are given. It says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, judgment. And friend, perhaps you say to me, preacher, I'm not really concerned about death, because I really don't think there's much to fear about death. But then these words are given, but after this. I remember some years ago in the troubles of our province, it was a lovely Sunday afternoon. A young lad was being buried. He did what he thought was needed to be done for the cause of Ulster. And in his doing of it, he died. His local minister in County Londonderry wouldn't bury him. And I got a call to go if I would take the funeral service and speak at his funeral. I never forget the sun was shining brightly that Sunday afternoon. I remember walking into that little place where the service was being held. And many of his comrades and friends were there. I remember looking into the coffin. Standing, looking into the face of a young man that believed he died for Ulster. And as I looked into his face, I put my hand on the coffin and I asked myself the question as I looked upon his youthful face. Wonder where is he? Wonder where is he? Friend, tonight I want you to consider with me for a moment. I want us to consider what God says, because I want to tell you, man's not left to wonder about eternity. The Word of God's very clear. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, he spoke about eternity. And whether you want to believe it or not, I want to tell you, eternity's real, man. It's real, woman. And you may drive the thought of eternity to the back of your mind and even into the back of your consciousness. But God's word is very clear as to what comes after death. And it's as simple as this. It's either heaven or it's hell. It's one or the other. And men and women want to close their hearts to that and not to think about that. Because, friend, I'll tell you why. It's too real. They don't want to think that one of these days or one of these moments, maybe even tonight, they've got to die. And whenever they close their eyes in death, they'll step into the God's eternity and they'll go into the blackness of hell forever or into the glories of heaven forever. In other words, they'll go to where they're ready for. They'll go to where they're prepared for, and I'll tell you, no man can change that destiny. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, the story which Jesus gave, and he said this, there was a certain rich man. People try to tell me, you know, the Lord's only talking about something, and you know, he's trying to paint us a picture. I want to tell you, Jesus said this. In verse number 19, there was a certain rich man. And then he said this in verse 20, and there was a certain beggar, and he names him. These men are real. And the very Lord of eternity, let me tell you, he tells us a story of two men. He tells us about their lives, and we're not going to concentrate on that. And he tells us about, my friend, their death. And even that, we're not going to spend much time. Yes, that's a reality, their deaths. But then he tells us about their eternities. And it's the first of the two men I want us to think about tonight. And I want us to consider what the Word of God says about this man. This man in verse 19, there was a certain rich man. You go on down the passage of God's Word and it says this. In the end of verse 22 it says, the rich man also died and was buried. And I want to say, dear man tonight, dear woman, young person of this service, listen, surely when we think of young Mark Young's death, here's a young man at the start of life and in a moment it's all over. Surely when you hear about the accidents that are going on the roads of Ulster, it seems to be weekend after weekend. Surely you have to stop and think, listen, my friend, some of these moments it's you or it's me. God has been gracious and God has been good and God has spared you, but don't you mock God and his goodness. Don't you take the mercy of God and the goodness of God for granted. Because God has given you an opportunity. Others have been cut off. I think of the young lads and young people going from the Randerstown meeting a month ago. Three of those young people traveling down the road and came outside Cookstown, friend, listen, and there was a tragic accident. Yes, they say it was a pool of water along the roadside. Nobody knew that that pool of water would be the means of transporting a young lad of just 20 years of age into God's eternity. You know, God was good, friend. Because out of those three young people, there was one young person in that car that was ready, and that's the one that God took. And the two that weren't ready, God spared them. As a young lad stood at the side of his friend and looked into his coffin, he said these words. He said, "You had to die that I would live." Because thank God that young lad came to Christ and gave his heart to Jesus. "You had to die that I would live." I wonder tonight in the service, who's going to have to die before some of you will listen? Who's going to have to be taken away before some of you will hear? The Bible says, "And the rich man also died." Friend, it's on your track. The word of God says it's appointed. Then the calendar of God, I want to tell you, friend, there's an appointment which God has made for me, and I don't know the date. But I tell you, God does. Because God's sovereign in the day of our birth, and God's still sovereign in the day of our death. He is Lord. It is appointed unto man. Yes, we all must needs die. There's not one of us can deny that. There's not one of us are fool enough to suggest that it's not true. But it's appointed unto us. That's unto you and me. It is appointed unto man once to die. Friend, that's not where I want to stop tonight. It's the next three words in verse 23. It said, "The rich man also died and was buried." And then it says this, "And in hell." And in hell. I want to tell you, man didn't write this, God did. For God knew the eternity of the soul. This man that had lived without Jesus Christ. This man that had died without Jesus Christ. And God wrote the obituary notice. And this is what appears in God's paper, friend. Never appeared in the paper of time. As far as man was concerned, that wasn't written in the story. But God wrote the story in the obituary notice, and God says, "And in hell." He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I want tonight to just speak on those words, the thought. "And in hell." You know, there are five common views about hell. First of all, there's denial. There are those tonight, let me tell you, and they say, listen, there is no such place as hell. They say that's only the old gospel preacher's imagination, and the reason why he preaches it is because he wants to frighten the people into doing what the church says. And if you don't do it, you'll go to hell. Let me make this clear tonight. If there's no hell, there's no heaven. I want to say this to every preacher that stands in the pulpit. And those that deny the reality of hell, listen my friend, to repudiate hell is to repudiate Christ. You can't have it any other way. For either you believe Christ or you don't. And if you want to reject the doctrine of hell and deny the very existence of hell, let me tell you this, you're denying the words of Jesus Christ, because he was the one, the Son of God, who spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Now you can deny the reality of hell, friend, and it may soothe your conscience for a moment, and it might give you for a wee brief time a little peace, but I want to tell you, hell you'll face. Because hell's a reality. The second thought about hell is this. Some people say that hell's on earth. You ever heard people say, maybe if they come through a hard time, they say, listen, you know, it was just, I went through hell. Let me tell you, friend, they haven't a clue what they're saying. When a man uses those words, or a woman uses those words, or talking about troubles or trials or situations, or perhaps afflictions, and they're talking about some earthly suffering, and they say, "Preacher, I went through hell." Let me tell you this, you have no idea of what you're saying, if that's what you believe. I want to tell you this, in your life's journey, I don't care how hard it is, there have been times that you've laughed. There's no laughter in hell. There have been times that the pain has been dulled, but there's no dulling of the pain in hell. There have been times that you've reached out and touched the hand of a friend and you've experienced love, but there's no love in hell. No, my friend. It's a lie of the devil. It's a spurious teaching that the devil has brought to men and women to try to delude them. God says, and in hell this rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. It's something that came after. It came after death. And then there's a third teaching. And they say that hell's annihilation. In other words, they believe that hell refers to the final destruction of all evil persons. In other words, God will annihilate them. God will wipe them out. Let me tell you, the sinner would want to believe that. They really would want to believe that. Because you see, friend, it's not going to go on. In other words, one brief moment of the judgment and the wrath of God upon them, and then it's finished. And then it's over. There's no eternity. It's not going to go on and on and on and on and on. No, it comes to a close. I want to tell you again, friend. It's a lie of the devil. There's no ending to the place called hell. For man goes into the pit of the lost for all eternity, under the judgment and wrath of God forever and ever and ever. And then there are those that teach us that, you know, hell's a place of restoration. In other words, what happens? A person will go into, like Rome teaches, a kind of purgatory. And whenever you go into it, you go in for it a period of time, and somehow, then at the end of the pain and the suffering for the sins that you have committed, somehow it's a place of restoration, and finally God will release you from it, and you'll be finally delivered, and you'll be finally saved, and then you'll finally make it to heaven. I want to tell you, friend, when you go to hell, you're there forever. But the trap door of hell doesn't open out. Now, dear unsaved person, let me say this to you. If that's the place you want to go, then I better tell you where you're going. If you want hell instead of heaven, if you want, my friend, the place where the devil is and his agents are, if that's where you're going, then in God's name I'm going to tell you where you're going. There's a fifth teaching, and it's this, is what Jesus said. And I want to say this very clearly right at the very beginning. I believe Jesus. I believe the Word of God, friend. Now, there are some people, you know, when they try to belittle the gospel preacher and the preaching of hell, they say, you know, how could a good God send somebody to hell? Let me tell you, my friend. It's your sin that takes you to hell. You blame God. A judge gives justice to someone who is guilty of crime. And when the judge gives a sentence to the guilty of his rightful punishment, tell me this, it's not the judge that's responsible for the guilty getting justice. It's the person who's guilty that judgment and justice demands it to come. Friend, if you want your sin, then the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Thank God it says also, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some years ago in Gatlinburg in Tennessee, and I've been there. Some years ago in Gatlinburg, they assembled what they called a replica of hell. And they called it a journey through hell. It was so horrible and was so graphic that the people complained and they petitioned to get this removed. And so the council was brought together and they voted to close hell down. It was said that in Gatlinburg, hell had gone out of business. Let me tell you, my friend. Man might think that. But let me show you what God says. I want to show you two verses. You think that hell's going out of business, then I want to tell you something. Man might mock these things. Just keep your Bible there in Luke's Gospel chapter 16. Go to the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs 27. We read these words. Proverbs 27 and verse 20. What does it say? It says, hell and destruction are never filled. Not going out of business, you know. Hell and destruction are never filled. Then turn to Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, we read this in God's precious word in verse number 9. Isaiah 14 and verse 9. It says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Oh, what an awful tragedy. That when a man dies and closes his eyes in death and his soul and spirit leaves that body and the angels take that precious soul and brings it to the very verge of hell and hell opens itself. For it says hell is moved for thee at thy coming. Oh, it's ready for you, man. It's ready for you, dear unsaved person, in this meeting tonight. You know, many have heard of Bill Gates. Bill Gates is a multi-billionaire, I suppose. He's one of the richest men of the world. And he has been interviewed one day and he was asked by the interviewer if he attended church on a Sunday. And his answer was, of course not. I have more important things to do with my time. I want to tell you, friend, Mr. Gates, can I tell you something? 1 second after death, you'll wish that you'd considered God. You'll wish you had given time for God. You'll discover that all your accomplishments, you'll discover that all your bank accounts, you'll discover that all your benevolence, you'll discover that all your name recognition will be as nothing for eternity without Christ. Mark Twain said, I'll take heaven for climate, and I'll take hell for company. What a fool. What a fool. No, friend, the tragedy is this. The preachers have removed hell from their language. And many have done it because, you see, they're afraid to offend their congregation. But listen, they let their congregations go to hell. Find out too late that they're not only doomed, but damned, and their preacher helped them. I want to say this before God tonight. I would to God that it was not in the book. I don't want one of you to go to hell. But I've got to be faithful. I've got to tell it as God gives it. I've got to proclaim it as Jesus said it. Eternity without Jesus, man. Oh, listen to me. Eternity without Jesus. Hell. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell. When I look at the Word of God tonight, in the closing moments of this meeting, you say, preacher, what kind of a place is it? Listen, friend, it's a place of endless desolation. Look at verse 23-24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. It says, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he seeth Abram afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried, and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. I would to God that God would give me a clear understanding of how awful that place is. I pray that God will give me a vision of that place, because there's friends of mine that are going there. And I haven't the burden that I should. There's loved ones and they're going on. And they're traveling down the road of life and they're going into the place of endless desolation. And in an awful eternity they'll cry, I am tormented. I am tormented. God forgive us. Few there are who seem to care, and few there be to pray. Sometimes whenever our body's in pain, we go along to the doctor. You know, friend, we hope the doctor will give us something to dull the pain. And there are people in this congregation, friend, let me tell you, and they know what I'm saying, that sometimes no matter what the doctor gives, oh, it may dull it, but it's still a gnawing pain. Dear man or woman tonight, without Jesus, the place called hell, there's nothing to dull the pain. Notice what he said. He said, send glasses that he may dip the finger, his finger in water and cool my tongue. You know, when I was reading that, listen to me carefully, friend. You see, since Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said that 2,000 years ago, that man in hell has not yet received the drop of water. That man in that lost eternity is still crying out for one drop of water to cool his tongue, because he says, I am tormented. Tormented. I remember preaching a gospel mission in our John Knox Memorial Church before it moved to the Shankill Road. I remember after the meeting was over, a young lady came to me and wanted to talk to me about her soul. She was broken and she was in tears. Said to me, preacher, you heard about Le Mans? I said, yes, I did. The people sitting there in Le Mans in a meeting and feasting there, having fun. Then all of a sudden, the place went up, the bomb went up, and the place was in flames. She said, you know, my sister was there. And there were grills upon the window. She couldn't get out. And I can hear her screaming. I'm inside. torments in the flame. I tell you, my friend, you don't burn to death in hell. You burn. And you burn. And you burn. Forever. And if that's where you're going tonight, you best know about it. For 2,000 years on, that rich man still longs for the drop of water. He's crying. Tormented. Tormented. You know, there are people tonight, and their minds in torment. Friend, as their minds in torment, they would cry out to you. And when you walk some of the hospitals where people's minds are tormented, let me tell you, it would break your heart. A tormented mind. But what is that to a tormented soul? In the caverns of hell. But notice, not only is it a place of endless desolation, it is a place of evident despair. Look at verse 25 quickly. And Abram said, "Son, remember. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented." Oh, the torments of memory, son, remember. Oh, the despair of memory. As the whiplash of memory comes upon that lost and lonely soul. For memory is like 1,000, 10,000 mirrors around the sinner recalling the sins of the past. Oh, the images of a life in sin that haunts a lost soul in the depths of the caverns of hell. He thinks back to his childhood, where he talks about my father's house. He remembers his childhood days when he used to run around with his 5 brothers. But now, he's lost and lonely. And friend, down there in a lost eternity, you will brood over the lost opportunities that you squandered. You'll recall the sermons that you heard. You'll remember the songs of invitation that they sang around you. Son, remember. Remember the barriers that under God were placed on your pathway to hell, friend, and yet you jumped over every one of them. And you resisted and you rejected the call of God. You'll remember the thing or the person you sold your soul for. And I'll tell you, you'll remember in hell and regret every minute and every second of the damned. You'll remember a praying mother or a godly father. And you remember when they cried to God, or perhaps they spoke to you in love about your soul, but you scorned them and you scoffed them and you thought they were only a fool. And you couldn't wait to get away. You couldn't wait to skip over the hedge from your father's home and get out into the world and get to the far country. Ah, you'll remember it. Son, remember. Wave after wave of memory will swim out, as it were, from oblivion to dice upon your condemned soul. Felix remembers the pleadings of Paul. and he trembled. Agrippa remembers the day that he heard Paul speak. And instead of pleading for his life, he begged for Agrippa's soul. And Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me, and friend, let me tell you, in hell he'll remember those words, almost persuaded. Almost there. Almost saved. Almost to Jesus. But I'm lost. Rich young ruler that ran to the feet of Jesus one day. And he knelt down before the Son of God and he asked him, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Listen, and the Bible says Jesus loved him. And you remember he turned away and walked away. He turned his back on the Son of God. He could see the love of Christ in his very eyes. But he turned his back and he walked away. Oh, how he loved him. Son, remember. You know, down there in hell, look at verse 26. Abram said, and beside all this, beside us and you, or between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. There's no hope. This eternity in hell, friends, not going to end. You know, the mainspring that keeps us going is hope. See, when you're sick, as you hoped, you'd get better. Even the doctor says, sorry friend, there's nothing I can do for you. It cuts the cord of hope. How many people, friend, whenever the doctor says that, they go home and they practically lie down and die? Why? Because hope's cord has been cut. The prisoner looks forward to the day of release. I remember when I was in Her Majesty's Hotel in Crumlin Road. I looked forward to the day I knew it was coming. I looked forward to the day, and no matter how long I was going to be there, I knew it was coming. I was going to be released. From hell. There's no way out. You know what the Bible says? The expectation of the rich man, or of the fool and the wicked, shall perish. It's as if over the trap door of hell, friend, there's written these words, abandon all hope, all who enter here, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Your destiny is set forever. A great chasm fixed. No way out. You say, why does he say, so that they would pass from thence to you cannot? Listen, my friend. If you saw your loved one down in hell, wouldn't you love to go down and rescue them? Wouldn't you love to go down and pull them out of the fire? And out of the flames? Oh, God knows you would. Can pass to you. I and those that would want to come to us, they can't either. Let me tell you, friend, the sinner would want to leave hell, but they can't. Why? Because there's a great gulf fixed. It's the place of evident notice in the passage of God's word is a place of expressed desires. Verse 24. And he cried. He cried and said, Father Abram. He's got very religious now, hasn't he? Oh, Father Abram. He wants to have his connection now. Oh, yes. He's eager to claim his identification with Abraham. Friend, let me tell you, it never mentions before he cried, and it never mentions before he prayed. I want to tell you, he's doing it now. He's got religious. Notice what it says in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. He's now praying. Notice he cries for mercy. He cries for mercy, verse 24. Father, have mercy on me. See, when poor old Lazarus was at his gate, he begged for mercy and he begged for a crumb which fell from the rich man's table. Let me tell you, he didn't give much mercy to him. Abram says, now he is comforted. I want to tell you, friend, that gives a lie to those who say this. Listen to me carefully. There's people who say to me, I want to go to hell with my mates. I want to go to hell with my wife. I want to go to hell with my husband. I want to tell you, friend, see that verse there? Gives a lie to it. It says in verse 27, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send them to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he might testify unto them, lest they also come into the place of torment. Down in hell, they don't want you to come. Remember a person saying to me many years ago, speaking about the one she loved, and the one that was tragically taken, I remember she said these words to me, Preacher, if my husband's in hell, I want to go to hell with him. And I can remember the tears running down my cheeks as I spoke, friend, for my heart was breaking, and I said, I want to say this to you, dear. There are no family reunions in hell. If your loved one's there, friend, I want to tell you, you'll not meet them. I believe we meet each other in heaven. I believe that we'll know each other in heaven, but I want to tell you, you don't meet them in hell. Because here's my last thought. It's the place of eternal darkness. The place of eternal darkness. If you go over to the book of Jude, before the book of Revelation, it says this in that little, only one chapter. It says in verse 13 these words, raging waves of sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Remember an accident one time in the tragedy, the dear man's wife and his child was taken. He was coming around, for he had been in the accident too, but God had spurred him. And he cried in the night time as he woke up. He said, Preacher, will the sun ever come up? Oh, when will this night end? Dear sinner, I beg you in God's name, listen to me. It's the blackness of darkness forever. Remember when you were a child and you used to have to go out into the darkness? Maybe some of you were different, but I know this. I didn't like the darkness. When the night came, somehow there was a fear. The fear of the unknown. Then this is outer darkness. This is darkness like you've never known before. This is what God says. It's the blackness of darkness forever. And the unconverted soul will step out into the darkness and into a lost eternity, and there's no star will ever shine in the darkness. There's no moon will ever give light in the darkness. There's no sun that will ever come in the darkness. Not one glimmer of hope in the darkness. It's the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, preacher. When will the night end? Listen to me carefully. It doesn't. Eternity. Oh God, make eternity real tonight. Eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever. In the place of outer darkness. In the flames of a Christless, unending hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Being done. Stories told. With this I close. The Vice President of the United States one time was a man called Calvin Coolidge. And as Vice President of the United States, he would preside over the Senate. And one day an angry senator told another senator, he said to him, he says, go straight to hell. The senator was offended. And he appealed to Coolidge, who was sitting in the seat presiding over the Senate. And he appealed to the presiding officer. Vice President Coolidge, at that moment, had been reading a book as he was leafing. He had been listening to the debate. And as the senator appealed him, he continued to leaf through the book while listening to the debate, and then he said this. Senator, I've been looking through the rule book. You don't have to go. Sinner, you don't have to go to hell. In your path, there's a cross. And on that cross, the Son of God died to save you. And he's put the obstacle of the cross in your path. He says, sinner, look. Look unto me and be saved. Save from sin. Save from wrath. Saved from hell. Look to Jesus. Now, you don't have to go. May God save you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight, and I pray that you'll write it in hearts. Please, God, give deciding grace. Don't let men and women go on in their sin. Don't let them walk in rebellion. Oh, God, I can do no more. I've simply preached. Oh, Spirit of the living God, call the sinner. Oh, Spirit of the living God, awaken the sinner. Touch their understanding. Give them the gift of faith tonight in Jesus. Their heads are bowed. just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Then I beg you, come to Jesus. O Lamb of God, I come. Will you? Let's sing the verse. Flip that hand above your head, sinner. Backslider, run back to him. You're in Bypath Meadows. Get back to him. And get on the firing line for God and let God use you. You have loved ones that need you to be saved and satisfied in Christ. They need you walking with God.
Would you lead them to?
Just as I am without one plea. Is there somebody in the service tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not saved from sin. I'm going to hell. Preacher, lead me to Christ. I want to be saved. You lift that hand above your head right now, friend. Don't be afraid or ashamed. Lamb of God, I come. Will you, friend? Will you come right now? Father, mother, son, or daughter, get to the cross. Just as I am and waiting not the final verse. Is there someone in this gathering tonight? Friend, be honest before God. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. Will you not run to Jesus? I beg you, don't die in your sin. He whose blood. So one right now, would you just lift that hand above your head? Preacher, lead me to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I want to be saved. The one before we close. I'm going to the minister's room, friend. I want you to meet me there. It's time you stop fooling around, friend. Get right with God. It's time you stop playing loose with your soul. God's not mocked. You know where you're going, friend. Those in hell would say, don't come. I beg you in God's name, come to Jesus. Heavenly Father, separate us with your blessing. Speak on. In Jesus' name.